Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Careers Corner
on Kaya Biz.
Time now to take a look at Careers Corner and all things that have to do with that. Really making sure that we build up on understanding how we build up the drive, the oomph, the support in order to drive performance management. But at what point does that then change and turn into corporate bullying? There's a few case studies that we can reference here with regard to certain companies who have been brought to the fore regarding alleged workplace bullying as well as unfair harassment, but also reminding us that at times this does draw a line between performance management and harassment claims. We're going to unpack this now, all to get a better understanding of the key themes here. For this conversation, joined by Peter Heumann, who is the director of LabourWise. Peter, thank you so much for your time and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gugulethu, and good evening to the listeners.
I'm excited to speak to you about this one, and I know we'll reflect on a case study. But so many of us, you know, often we talk about the work environment, and over recent years, there's been a few new phrases, you know, quiet quitting, toxic work environments, corporate bullying, you know, environments that are not great for your mental health. And I can imagine that sometimes these definitions can be very difficult to define succinctly, because there's often many gray areas. But maybe let's just start there, understanding what performance management is and where the lines do get blurred when it comes to harassment claims or even corporate bullying.
Yes, I think the Employment Equity Act is not doesn't really specifically define harassment. And I think also It's a very subjective thing. You know, what one person thinks of as harassment is not necessarily what other people think. You know, and you see it very often with cases where there's sexual harassment. You know, it's playing out currently in the Judicial Conduct Tribunal of Judge President Mbenenge in the Eastern Cape. It's very interesting to see how his accuser and how he sees the differences, you know, it's of what actually happened. They have two very different perspectives on what actually happened. And you know, the fact that the Employment Equity Act doesn't define it very clearly doesn't help, you know. And I think that is one of the reasons why the Code of Good Practice on the prevention of and elimination of harassment in the workplace was brought in 2022, to give a bit more guidance on how employers should deal with it. Yeah, so essentially one has to understand what harassment is, and it's normally understood that it's although it's not defined, it's understood to be unwanted conduct that generally creates a hostile or intimidating work environment, and there's very often elements of discriminatory behavior, specifically pertaining to race, religion, gender, sexual orientation, etc., pregnancy, you find very often. And then also there's elements of a power imbalance in the workplace that one also has to consider, you know, especially when it's senior people dealing with more junior people. And the most recent case, we had a very interesting outcome, the Russell versus Aspen Pharmacare, which was heard in the National Bargaining Council for the Chemical Industry, where a manager was accused of harassing his subordinates, and his argument, and he was subsequently dismissed for that, and his argument was that he was just holding his subordinates accountable for their poor performance, etc. And the bargaining council found that there was no substance in the allegations of harassment against him, and that he was just doing his job.
And maybe Peter, just, you know, delving deeper into some of these case studies, you know, how was accountability defined? Because, again, depending on the organization or the leadership, this has very different views as to what accountability looks like.
Yeah, accountability is once again, it's also a very subjective thing, you know. Basically, an employer, you know, the premise of any employment relationship is that an employer expects certain outcomes from an employee in return for a salary. I mean, it's as basic as that. And when an employer finds or is of the view that an employee is not meeting that standard that is expected, you know, there are certain processes that one can follow in the workplace to hold some people accountable, poor work performance or incapacity processes, if it deals with a person's performance or even conduct. So you have the employers obligated to follow those processes in order to deal in addressing those poor work performance and conduct issues. And so an employer is perfectly within their rights to hold employees accountable, either for poor work performance or performing below standard, or also for their conduct. But there is requirements in terms of the process, and there's also requirements in terms of the substantive issues that an employer has to navigate when it comes to these things, should they wish to terminate the employee's employment relationship. So you can hold people accountable.
Got you. And maybe let's talk about the processes there, Peter, because we found, especially in recent past, that some organizations take advantage of the fact that the employees aren't informed around the necessary processes. You know, is there a stock standard process that we need to be aware of as employees? And also, you know, how do you manage the potential breach of any of these processes?
From an employee perspective, I find in my line of work, I'm a labor consultant, I find generally people are very aware, employees are generally very aware of their rights in terms of procedural and substantive fairness, and they know of their rights to refer these disputes, should disputes arise out of it, to the necessary forums or the relevant forums, should they be unhappy about it. But generally, all employees has a right to be heard when these allegations are leveled against them. And an employer has to listen and evaluate the circumstances. You can't go into a process like that with a predetermined outcome in your head. You know, very often it's quite evident when I deal with these things in the workplace, you know, what the outcome will be. But very often also, you know, once the employee starts talking and putting their side of the story, you know, it does throw a curveball, and you know, there's other things that you have to consider, specifically pertaining to the substantive issues.
Yeah, definitely. I'm so keen then, you know, if we do take a look at a few that other examples. I understand there's a case study between Russell versus Aspen Pharmacare, a ruling here that actually speaks to whether a warehouse manager's dismissal for alleged workplace bullying or harassment was fair. Add more color and context to the particular scenario and help us understand how this works as an example.
Yeah, in this case, it was interesting because normally when we deal with, when we hear about harassment cases, we hear about cases of harassment where employees took their employers to task or their managers to task for harassing them, and they're successful in those processes. In this case, it was very interesting to see that the bargaining council actually found that although the employees lodged the allegations against the manager, and the employer then went and they put too much weight on those allegations, and they did not navigate them or investigate them or look at the evidence carefully, and they just dismissed the employee. And the response of the employee, the manager, was that, you know, he was just doing his job. He was putting pressure on the employees to, you know, in terms of their performance, they were not performing up to standard, and that is not harassment. And the bargaining council agreed with him. You know, there was no evidence in that case that he was actually harassing them. He was just doing their job. So that was the outcome of that case. So it went against the employer in terms of the unfair dismissal of the alleged harasser. So I think it just points to the fact that one needs to be very careful, and you know, when allegations of harassment are made, you know, it just shows to the importance of employers having to evaluate the evidence. And for me, when I'm dealing with these things, you know, normally a big red flag for an employer is, you know, if you question the allegations of harassment, it's normally when those allegations of harassment are raised in response to a manager or an employer's, you know, they start performance managing the people or, you know, addressing their conduct. And then an allegation of harassment is raised in response thereto. That is normally a red flag for me. You know, the question arises, why wasn't those allegations raised earlier? You know, why is it only raised in response you know, when you're being held accountable. And that normally, as a rule of thumb, you know, it's not always the case, but as a rule of thumb, you know, that's normally when I go and look very carefully whether there are actually grounds for this allegation, you know. So that raises, I think that's a red flag.
And maybe on that, Peter, you know, on these red flags and sometimes where there's false accusations around harassment and bullying, do we find that, I don't know how to put this, but is there a split, a leaning towards more irregular, erroneous, and unfortunate claims around harassment? In other words, are people more prone to lie about harassment versus those who are very truthful and honest about it in the workplace?
That's a very interesting question. I think, once again, you know, harassment can be a very subjective thing, and it requires an objective test in terms of the code, you know, the code that came out in 2022. And I find very often also that, you know, there's always a chance that these allegations are weaponized, you know, and I've seen that in my career as well, where allegations of sexual harassment, for instance, which is a very, very serious allegation, and it can be weaponized, you know, against people. And, you know, it's something that employers should tread very carefully with, you know, when they deal with those allegations. And it just shows to the importance of, you know, having to evaluate the evidence and you know, dealing with it in a very, very attentive way. I normally find that when there's allegations of harassment made and it's not in response to some kind of accountability exercise by the employer that was initiated by the employer, then there's quite often there are grounds to it, you know. It's personality wise, you know, and as I said, harassment can be very subjective. It can be, some people just have in a very abrupt manner, you know, they're very direct. It could be the body language, the tone of voice, you know, all those things could be construed as harassment or contributing to a perception of harassment.
Yeah, it needs to be monitored very carefully. And I'm in agreement with you that it's so vast. I recall a few colleagues of mine having conversations about how to compliment a colleague, you know. Do you say, "Oh, you look gorgeous today?" Or do you just say, "Well, I like how you've presented yourself," you know, and what is too much, what isn't too much? So,
with the whole woke movement, you know, one has to be very careful, you know, and all these things contributes to the fact that, you know, as an employee or as an employer, you know, you have to be so careful in what you do and what you say. And, you know, I find even with my own employees, sometimes I can make a comment to one that will never go down with another one, you know, but you have to know people really well in the circumstances, et cetera. So, it is a minefield, you know, when it comes to that. And I always advise people rather err on the side of caution. If you're in doubt whether something is appropriate or not, then it's probably inappropriate and just don't go there, you know?
Yeah, so, definitely. Peter, I'm sure we could talk to you for days on end about the different cases that you witness and some peculiar outcomes.
I've thought about writing a book of what people get up to in the workplace. Please do. You know, but I'm not sure whether it's going to be a drama or a comedy.
I must tell you, both will be welcomed. I think we'll need the comic relief after all the drama. But yeah, amazing insights
indeed,
you had. Thank you again for your time, Peter.
It's a good, big pleasure. And have a good evening, Gugulethu, and good evening to the listeners as well.
Thank you so much. Peter Heumann is Director of LabourWise joining us tonight, helping us, decipher and learn from some lessons around, you know, at what point when you raise your hand to say, "Oh, I think my boss is bullying me." Are they really, or are they just holding you accountable to say, "Googs, you said you're going to be on the show Monday to Wednesday, and now you don't make it. Why are you doing this?" Just show up. And sometimes you might actually be harassed, you know, where people are making undue comments and touching you in an inappropriate way, maybe even trying to make advances on you, and you raise your hand. So how do we navigate that trajectory? And as we've heard Peter highlight, the rules and regulations are in place. Most of the time, we all know which procedures to follow within the workplace, but it's just determining, you know, the intention, the insight, the follow and through and the reach, and how often it happens under circumstances where truth is you're just being told to do your job and to do it correctly. And then you put your hand up and you say, oh no, they're not treating me well. Yeah, the stories.
Careers Corner on Kaya Biz. Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.